Continue our message that we've been on for a few weeks now, titled Mission Possible. I don't know how many like those movies. You know, Tom Cruise plays the lead role now, but I'm old enough, and some of you perhaps are, to remember when that show was first on TV and Mission Impossible. You saw it, and we all love the theme song. We've played it a couple times throughout the course of this series. But you know what? You and I, like them, we're kind of undercover. The thing is, too many Christians are too much undercover, and they're not doing what they're supposed to do. But the mission we have is possible. Say possible. And God is teaching us that through the Holy Spirit and the gifts that he's given us, you and I can be disciples and then make other disciples. Jesus only made one call, and that was to become a disciple and to follow him. Jesus is still doing the same thing today. Jesus doesn't come, and I know many of us have prayed a prayer in church and said, oh, Jesus, come into my heart, and that's fine. But, you know, Jesus, you don't see an account of Jesus saying, now close your eyes and repeat after me. No, Jesus looks at you and says, follow me. And if you say, but I got this and I got that, and he'll say, lay it down and follow me. And so much, especially in the American mindset, we think, well, that was the disciples. Yeah, and that's what you are if you believe in Jesus. There's not disciples and then normal Christians. There's no such thing. You don't see it in the Bible. There's disciples. It means those who believe in the ways of Jesus, live that way, and teach others to live that way. That's what a disciple is. Matter of fact, look what he says in the Great Commission. Our mission is possible. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And some denominations even say, see, this is where Jesus commissioned the disciples. Well, that's true. But listen, listen to what Jesus says here. Lo, I'm with you even to the end of the age. Are the original apostles still alive? So that promise has got to be for more than just them. Do you get that? All right? Because Jesus is here to make our mission possible by the gifts of his Holy Spirit. But so many times, especially I think in our culture, in this country, we don't see Holy Spirit working in a way that's as miraculous as we would sometimes like to see. Because I really don't believe most of us have made the commitment to be a disciple. We go to church. We pray a prayer. If the entertainment is good, we come back. If it's not, we find another church. You know what I'm talking about. Now, I know that's not true with you, but I'm talking about all the other Christians. Okay. The other ones. The normal ones, yeah. Not the disciples, that's right. But the Bible's telling us here that you and I should be living as disciples, and that is really why so many times we don't see the miraculous in our lives. I believe that with all my heart, and we've been talking a great deal about that, looking at the gifts of the Spirit. And all of us love to talk about the gifts of the Spirit, and they're miraculous. And if you want to hear about those, get online. We taught on those in the beginning of this series, and we discussed those at length. And we believe in the gifts of the Spirit, all of them. And God does move supernaturally. But listen, he doesn't give us supernatural gifts just so we can get together and have a service like this and pray for one another. Now, we should pray for one another. But those things should be operating in our lives. And most of the time, it's because we haven't made a commitment, first of all, to be a disciple. And we really haven't plugged into what God has for us, which is really the body of Christ, which is our support system. So many times we just want to come to church, and then, you know, if we're good Christians, we give in the offering and we leave. And if the pastor says something we don't like, we go out the side door so we don't have to see him on our way out. Not you, the other Christians, the ones that go to the church, okay. Matthew 16, 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. There's the call. Hasn't changed. Follow me. Will you follow him today? Luke 14, 33, so likewise, whoever does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. And so to be a disciple, we need to forsake everything. What does that mean? That means that everything else in my life takes second seat to following Jesus. And therefore, my life starts to become a disciple in which I am reaching other people and making other disciples. And we started to talk last week about this support system called the body of Christ that God has given us. And you see all through the New Testament, it really gives us this, or envisions the followers of Jesus Christ living aside one of another for the sake of one another, caring for one another. Now, we're teaching on this in the summer because, and we're taking our time because come fall, we're really encouraging you to get involved in a small group. We've got a couple that have met all through summer, but most of our small groups take a break in the summer and then in the fall. We've got a list of 10 different small groups, And for a church of our size, about 250 to 300 people call this their church. I think we had over 300 at Eastern, so we kind of say that's the people that will call this their church. And the thing is, for 10 small groups for a church of size is pretty good. We can always do better. But listen, they're spread out throughout the course of the week, and we're just saying, get involved in one of these. You need a support system. I need a support system. Trish and I have a small group of people. We meet every Monday at our house for prayer. You know, usually when they show up, I'm weeping beyond control, saying, I don't know what I'm doing. Help me. No, that's not it. But they come, and we have times like that, don't we, Andy? We have times like that. Because, listen, you can't do this alone. You realize that? Okay. You can't do this alone. No, I'm just... But we encourage you, and you can't make everyone. But the thing is, you need to make something. And we got so many different opportunities where you can get involved. We just talked a couple of months ago. We actually did a couple of presentations. If you've been coming, you saw we have something that we call Right Now Training. That's just a simple tool. You could, if you want to have a small group in your home, you let us know. You can tap into that. You can just, you don't even have to let us know. Invite your neighbors and watch something good on TV. Now, there's a revolutionary concept. Right? Doesn't cost you anything. You can watch literally thousands of videos through this service that we purchase for you. So you can get involved that way. But we're encouraging you to get involved in a small group. Reach out. Get some friendships that work. And many of you are doing this, but we're encouraging the rest of you to get involved as well. Because I believe being involved in the body of Christ and God's support system really makes the church all it should be and completes us, enabling us to be able to fulfill the mission that God's placed on our hearts. 1 Corinthians 12:25, he says, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. This just flushes that whole idea down the drain that it's the pastor's job. Equal concern. Equal concern. All right? That means we all have the same value. And we're going to talk a little bit this morning about honor, truly honoring one another. We live in a society where we don't see honor as much as we did at one time, but honoring one another as members of the body of Christ. Last week, we talked about loving one another. We talked about hosting one another. Matter of fact, read this with me, Acts 2:42. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. See, when the body's working properly, you see many signs being done through the apostles, through the disciples. Sometimes we read this and we say, well, see, it says there, what a great time it must have been because fear came on every soul. That doesn't mean that everyone got saved. All right? Because that didn't happen. Matter of fact, many people didn't follow the disciples. There's some things that they did. It said that the people were afraid of the disciples. And didn't dare go in some cases. You read it. It's in there. Because of some of the commands they were putting on themselves. But what we see here is when we get involved in one another's lives in what's called the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayers, meeting in one another's homes, what happens is we start to develop a fear of God like maybe we didn't have before. Now, it's not something we're afraid of God. We're not afraid of one another. But we start to live life together. And even though you're imperfect, and by the way, if you get nothing else out of this service today except that, you're imperfect, all right? Remember that. But thank God you've got grace. Thank God Jesus was perfect, so you don't have to be. But when you get in a small group, you start to realize, hey, they're just as messed up as I am. Come on, somebody. Even a pastor. Yeah. And so what starts to happen is we start to fear God because now we realize it's not about just little differences. It's not about all these little things that maybe challenge us so much, but now we realize that we all need support. We all need prayer, and then we start to work together, and we start to fear or trust God in a way we didn't before, and that's what the whole apostles' doctrine, going from house to house, breaking bread, fellowship, prayers, that's the strength of God's support system called the body of Christ. Today I want to talk a little bit about one of the points we want to mention is receiving one another. You and I should be receiving each other into our lives. Romans 15:7. He says, therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. What does that mean? Receiving the gift or pulling on the gift of one another. There are gifts that you have that I do not have. There are strengths that you have that I do not have. And that goes for every one of us. We need each other. We need each other to work. And for the whole body to be healthy, we all need to be healthy. We all need to be growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ and one another. And one of the primary ways we grow is by receiving the gift that you have. I receive it to me, you receive my gift, and so on. Does that make sense to you this morning? Matter of fact, Jesus taught it this way, Matthew 10:40. He said, "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward." Think of it this way. You are a walking around with rewards to give to other people. Come on, does that encourage you? You are a blessing to reward other people that you come in contact with. Now, that doesn't mean we walk around, "Well, I got the gift of prophecy, and I got the gift of working of miracles." That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that you realize that you have something to receive from somebody else and somebody has something to give into your life. And so out of that comes honor, which we'll talk about in a minute. We're starting to really give and take from one another. And spiritually, this is the way the body of Christ works. That's why it's so important to be involved in a small group, in a network of people who are praying and working together and wrestling through life's issues. But see, what we've done so often is we thought, "Well, gosh, I don't want to get together with anybody because they're going to see how messed up I am." Or we certainly wouldn't want to invite our neighbors because our neighbors might come over and have a beer. So what? They might see that you're actually a normal person. We just had, a couple weeks ago, some of you made it, we had 60 people over to our house. Oh, my goodness. It was a blast. But we have neighbors, we don't have to invite them anymore. They just come over because they know, because we invite them every year. And so they just come on over and they're just part of it. They kind of just mill around because they know we're just normal people like they have us over too. My neighbors aren't afraid to say, "Hey, you want a beer?" I'll say, "No, probably not. But you can have one." But you know what we do? Now, listen, some of us should not have no business drinking alcohol. So I'm not going to make a big thing out of alcohol. But alcohol is like a big thing with people right now. I've heard people, you know, it's like there are microbreweries everywhere. Anybody ever notice? So it's like beer is like at the forefront like it wasn't before. But, you know, more than ever. And so now Christians are like, "Oh, I just don't know what's happening in Michigan. We're turning into the brew capital of the world." I'm like, so what? So if you don't have a problem, go have a beer and witness to somebody. You know, I mean, not, and this seems radical to some people because it is. But I want to tell you something. The church has not been working. I'm talking about the whole church worldwide, especially in this country. What we've done is we've created things where Christians can come and we like it for a while, but then if we don't like it, we go to another place. And many times people who answer an altar call were already Christians, but they realized they were convicted because the pastor preached something and they realized they weren't living right. Matter of fact, I will go even further and say many people that sit in congregations week after week are not even saved. Because what we've done is we've made Christianity a bunch of rules and regulations, and that is not what Christianity is. I've got a friend of mine. One of the greatest ways he can disciple people, and this is the morning Pastor Tony preached about beer. That's what you can remember. Okay. Friend of mine who, he loves to go out to dinner and have a couple of beers at a place that he goes every week, and he's just starting to disciple those people. You say, how can you disciple? Because you start talking what you believe and people start to pick up on it. Again, some people shouldn't be drinking alcoholic beverages. But you know, there's something that people that we should have, those who can, is moderation. And people will see by your moderation and the way you talk and the way you live, it's kind of like, there's something different about them. They were here. Remember, the Bible says that they called Jesus, stay with me, please. They called Jesus a friend of sinners and a wine bibber. Why? Because that's who he hung out with. That's what the church should be doing, is reaching people. And it doesn't just have to be alcohol. That's just a big stigma. Especially in Western Michigan. Now, again, if you have an addiction, we have help for you. And we have a small group for that. And we'll pray with you and we help you. And that's fine. It's not like drinking is the only way to reach people. I mean, come on. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? But we've got to get out of our comfort zone. But the problem is, so many of us, we have our church face, and then we're drinking or partying or whatever we do, but we pretend like we're not. Well, why not use moderation? Embrace what you're able to do. If you can't drink, don't drink. But why not use moderation? Live your life openly. Be part of a small group and start to brainstorm on how you can reach somebody who lives across the street from you. And not be worried about, well, did you know they had a beer? Did you know they're smoking cigarettes? Well, yeah, you can smell it when they come. Is this making sense to you this morning? But we don't get connected because we're trying to hide things from one another when we should be helping one another. All right? We should be interconnected where we're. I mean, many of you, I'll say, did you quit smoking yet? Nah. Say, I'm praying for you. Still love you? Still have fellowship with you? I won't smoke a cigarette with you. And you can't smoke in my car or my house, but you can smoke in my backyard as long as you don't throw the butts on the lawn. You got to smoke it when it's done. You need to eat it. Okay? Say, but pastor, no, it's my preference because it's my house. All right. Okay. Matter of fact, let me, we got to stop being afraid of each other. Because if we're afraid of each other, sure, I guarantee you, you're afraid of your neighbor and what they might think. Or you just pick the neighbors you want to hang around with because you know they'll never come to church anyway. I know that's nobody here, but we're barbecuing some religious cows today, aren't we? Because listen, the church has got to work. And I believe in the time we're living right now, we are living in the last days. And if we don't get this thing called grace, not as a reason to live in perverse sin the way we want to, but grace so that we can have grace on one another, first yourself, then one another, and grace extended to the world, and stop living religious lives because the world doesn't want that. You don't even want that. That's why you pretend. Come on. Laugh. We're in church. It's okay. Real people living real life with a real God who's got the answer. What do you think it's all about? But see, there's something we should look like, and I want to look at a scripture. This is New King James, 1 Thessalonians 1, and don't put it up quite yet, but I want to read this. 1 Thessalonians 1:4, New King James. And what I want us to get from this is I want you to get Paul's heart as he's writing this. I want you to see, because when you read the Bible, sometimes we can read it and we just breeze over it, and we forget that there were personal, interactive relationships that they had with one another, like we have. And I want you to see how they talked about one another and how they were consumed, if you will, with discipling and really being examples to everyone they come in contact with. This is what it says here, 1 Thessalonians 1:4. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God, you first of all need to know that your election is to be a disciple. God chose you since before the foundation of the world. He says, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. You knew what kind of men we were among you. All right? Relationship. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. So see what he's saying here is you became followers of us and the Lord. When we start to have interaction with each other, we start to like, when you get around people, you're kind of like, it's kind of cool, their relationship with Jesus like that. That's an example to me. All right? You hang around with somebody, and yeah, that's an example. And we start to not only follow the Lord, but we start to follow one another, and we start to help one another. And we won't get to it today, but we start to even correct one another. And the thing is, when we get to correction in a couple of weeks, is you got to realize correction has to come with gentleness. So that you don't stumble and fall into sin too. Because you know what? Every one of us is vulnerable. You know that. We're not going to get to that this morning, but I wanted to say that here. It's relationship. We don't quit on each other. The body of Christ, we said this last week, it's really not even a marriage. It's kind of like a marriage, but it's an engagement. And when you look at Jewish engagement, it was like a law that if you broke an engagement, you actually had to pay a dowry anyway for breaking that engagement in many cases. And you had a job to do. That's why Jesus said, I go to prepare you a place. The groom's job would be to go and either build a house or to, most of the time, add on a room or prepare a room in his father's mansion. Come on, somebody. And then the bride would either make or repair her mother's wedding garment. The Bible says that the church, the bride of Christ, should make herself with the washing of the water of the word, Holy Spirit, making us pure, without wrinkle, without blemish. Does that make sense? Again, we talked more about that last week, but I want to throw it in there. So we're becoming followers of one another. Why? Because we're working together. We're receiving one another, receiving the gift of God on our lives. As a matter of fact, back to our text, Matthew 10, verse 42, finishing that thought of receiving one another, he says, and whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of water in the name of a disciple, how many disciples do I have? It's about half the church. Okay, everybody shake your hands. This is it. I know your hands fall asleep. You're sitting there. Okay, all right. How many disciples do we have? All right, that's most of us. All right. Now you have to live this way because you just lifted your hand in church and said you were a disciple, and everybody knows you can't lie in church. Right? Okay. All right. You can lie anywhere else, but don't lie here. Okay. In church. Okay. Where are we? In church. We're in church. We're the church. Do you get that? But see, see how we think? We're in church. We're in church. Shoot, the pastor's here. Not in this church, please. Do not call me reverend. Okay, he says, whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly, listen, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. See, if you reach out and minister to someone, not just in the body of Christ, we're talking about being connected, but this first we're connected here, then we connect out there. Are you with me? If I exercise, my whole body benefits. If I eat healthy food, my whole body benefits. So I have a healthier body. I live longer. So it is with the body of Christ. When we're all connected and healthier, we have a healthier body that reaches out. Does that make sense? And that's what Jesus is doing. And you may say, well, I don't need a small group. Yes, you do. And if you can't make one, then think about starting one. We'll help you. It's not hard, really. You can have as few or as many people as you want. We need to learn how to honor one another. Romans 12:10, it says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Giving preference to one another. That means you prefer someone over yourself. We should be viewing one another and considering another person more important than ourselves. Now, we all understand it's hard to look at this if we're not healthy anyway, because if we have needs spiritually, emotionally, and those are very real, it's hard for us to reach out and to help others, but that's why we need relationships to get healthy. All right? But once we're healthy, what God wants us to do is start living our life now, realizing that I'm a gift. Not in a proud way, but I'm a gift. And if I'm a gift, then Dan's a gift. Dan, say hi. Dan Telchia there, our neighbor. But we start to realize, now I have a gift. Now I have a responsibility to honor that person and realize that he has a gift in my life. But then he has a responsibility to honor me and realize that I'm a gift in his life. And so when you start to honor one another and prefer one another, you start to see value in each other, and you start to see the importance of you viewing your life as being important. So you start to live differently. You start to love differently. You start to seek God differently. You read your Bible. You pray. You want God to be... Does that make sense? And so everything we're talking about being disciples and the way that we live, now we start to see why God tells us to do this. There's a purpose in it, and it's to make the body of Christ healthy, so that we can reach out and be a light in a dark place. 1 Peter 2:17, he says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Honor the king. And so you and I should be loving one another, honoring each other. Matter of fact, I want to add this scripture. It's 1 Peter 2:9 in the New Living Translation. And this is why we honor one another. Listen to what he says. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. Say, I am chosen. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. Wow. Remember last week, if you were here, we talked about that, remember we were on our way in last week and we had that revelation of God's handiwork or God's work of art. Some of you, I know you heard when you were growing up, you're a piece of work. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the work of art, okay? God's work of art. And how a master painter and craftsman, you can just see, I mean, just this week with some of the weather that we had and the humidity and the clouds, did you see some of the clouds? You sit and look at that and you're like, oh, come on. I mean, you talk about an artist. For somebody, someone in my family I saw last week, they said, yep, 30 years ago I walked out in a field and I said, God, if you're real, show me. And I haven't heard anything since. I said, do you ever look around, man? First, I said, God doesn't need to prove he exists to you, but you do need to prove that you love him. But you look around. I mean, think about God. I just see God with this. Just a stroke of his brow. I just painting, you know? And he's like, I created Pam, and then, poof. It's like, you know what? Our daughter's selling Mary Kay now. Mary Kay's nice. It helps women look prettier. Women are prettier naturally than men anyway, but then they make them. To me, it's like, you know, Mary Kay ain't nothing. I think God made, and he just goes, poof, and he just finishes. You know, it's kind of like the icing on the cake. And then I think he steps back, because the Bible says that after God created everything, he stepped back and he said, it's good. Matter of fact, he saw it was good, and he immediately took a day of rest. Not because he was tired, because God doesn't tire. He says he never gets tired. He says he never sleeps. He doesn't get tired. So why did God rest? Well, to set an example, first of all, but really to enjoy his creation. And we had this word last week that said that God wants us to take pleasure. Listen. There must be a reason I'm repeating it again. God wants us to take pleasure in him pleasuring in us. Not just a pleasure in him, but take pleasure in the fact that he pleasures in us. You say, but Pastor, even with all my problems? Well, yeah, what problems are just because of sin. You can blame that on Adam. But the Bible says, even as we didn't do anything to get that sin on us, it was Adam's fault, so much more the gift of grace through Jesus Christ. Maybe we'll get to that scripture. I don't have time today. It's in Romans chapter 5, yeah. But even though you didn't do anything to receive that sin that messes you up so much, the gift of God is greater than that. Because he says, ah, you're beautiful. I love you. But if we would pleasure in the fact that he pleasures in us, we would pleasure in one another. We would start to live as a chosen generation. We would start to honor one another. Very own possession. It says, as a result, let's finish this, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. The problem is so many Christian circles, if you will, what we do is we're pulled out of darkness and we walk a little bit, and then we're pulled into another type of darkness. And we're like, don't do this, don't do that, you shouldn't do this, you know, and you know, and then we go to church, and we come, and praise you, Jesus, praise you, Jesus. And then we leave, and then we live like hell all week. Now, I know that's not, I'm talking about that other church. Remember? Don't forget about them. That's what I'm talking about. All right. It's time for us to get comfortable in who we are. Not that we just allow sin in our lives, but listen, it's there anyway. You might as well get some help and ask someone to help. And then, again, we'll get to it in a couple weeks, like I mentioned. Restoration is done in gentleness. And anybody who's ever gone for help with an affliction that they have and humbly really wanted the help realizes what I'm saying is true. And they realize it doesn't hurt. Well, some of it does as you're going through a process, but the people who are helping you don't hurt you. They help you get past the hurt so that you can start to walk in freedom. And that's what happens in small groups. That's the dynamic of getting in a healthy group and getting prayer and starting to live as those who are chosen, coming out of darkness and living in light. Matter of fact, I'm going to show you another. I have time for one more scripture, and we're going to have to stop this morning. About serving one another, honoring one another, receiving one another. Galatians 5:13. He says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use this liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love to serve one another. He calls us out of darkness and into his marvelous light so we can serve one another. Not liberty just so we can live how we want to, but the fact we've been set free in grace, we can now minister one to another in that very grace that Jesus Christ has given to us. Free to serve, making disciples. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And I said one last scripture, but I meant one last thing. This might be the last. This might be one last thing. Okay, let's leave it at that. One more scripture. Another scripture. Let me share another scripture with you. That's what I meant to say. Okay. John 13, New King James, verse 3, about serving. Jesus, and this will help us a ton, knowing that the Father had given all things to his hand and that he had come from God, he was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel with which he was girded. And the things we can glean out of this is Jesus and you and I can serve when we realize that God has given us all things. That's liberty. That's freedom. Oh, my goodness. I am free. Free, free, free. Doesn't mean that sometimes I don't have to pray through and say, boy, I ain't too much money in that checkbook, so I'm going to close it. I'm going to put it away, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to be wise with what I have, but I'm going to believe you for more. But I'm not going to let it get the best of me. Are you with me? Doesn't mean all your problems go away. But I'm talking about knowing, you know what? God has met all my needs. And then it says, and that he knew that he was had come from God and that he was going to God. You need to know that you know that you know where you came from and that you're going to be with him. When you receive that liberty, you start to live differently. You start to live differently. Matter of fact, let me just say this here. So many times I think, well, I wonder, do people really know Jesus? Really? Because here's a little test for us, okay? Now, I'm not asking you if you prayed a sinner's prayer with somebody yesterday. And by the way, sinner's prayer is not even in the Bible. I'm not being disrespectful. I mean, I still think we should pray and all that, and God honors that. But Jesus just said, follow me. And I'm not saying that you had to pray with someone this week. But inside of your heart of hearts, do you ever have a desire? Like you think, oh, that person I work with, if they only knew Jesus, or this person over here. Or you ever just feel sometimes in your alone time where you're just weighted down with the fact that there's so many people going to hell. If you never feel that way, I don't think you know him. I don't. I'm just saying that respectfully. Okay? And I think when we realize who Jesus is, and we realize what a servant he is, and we start to live this way, and we start to realize where we came from, where we're going, we can live a whole lot differently. And the reason I think that a lot of people aren't really living this way is what I just said so many times. I think people don't even think about the lost. And statistics really pan this out. I mentioned it earlier in the service. I talked about how like 2.5% of people who call themselves Christians give money to a church organization. All right? Matter of fact, let me just say this. Most people, even sitting here today, and this is not there's no shame in this, but something to think about. All right? So don't get yourself in shame or don't get yourself puffed up with pride if you're, you know, when I make this remark, whatever side of the fence you fall on. But most people in this church or anywhere, most people could not think of one person. Listen carefully. Don't get yourself on one side or the other, because if you can think of somebody, don't get all puffed up with pride. But you can't think, most of us cannot think of one person that we have made an impact in their lives who is now impacting other people for Jesus. And that's wrong. And I know it's true because so few people even give finance, and that's just financially. You know, sometimes people say, boy, you talk about finances. Well, it's kind of an indicator. Jesus said that your money is where your heart is, or your heart's where your money is. Okay, so what flows out of your heart is kind of where your money goes. And it says about 2.5% of the church even gives anything to church, gives anything to the organized church, 2.5%. And of that, many churches don't even support world missions like we do. And so they say that average, churches give 2% of that income to world missions. Okay? To get people saved. Now, here's how it really breaks down, and this is going to blow your mind. What that means is for every $100 of income, all right, for an evangelical believer that says they believe in Jesus, yeah, I give 2.5% average. Are you with me? Givers. For every $100 of income, 5 cents goes to world missions. Say yikes. That's sad. But you know, it's because we don't know where we came from. We don't know where we're going. We don't realize the importance of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then once we've made a commitment to him, we really don't understand what commitment means. And then we don't get plugged into one another's lives because we're really not thinking about the person down the street. Are you with me? Now, we had a word spoken just a couple of weeks ago in one of our services, and it applies today. We're going to wrap the service up, but a lot of times I say, bow your heads and close your eyes. We're not going to do that today. With every head up and every eye open, you can do one at a time if you want, but I'm tired and we're driving. That's what I do. I take a nap. I say, Trish, I'm just napping. She'll say, oh, your other eye's open. I'm like, okay. Every head up and every eye open. We had a word a few weeks ago, and this was the word, and it applies to today. I think it applies to our life, period. We are living in times where living the Christian lifestyle that so many are accustomed to in this country, and listen, there's been some great things. We've had some great teaching, but what have we done with it? And the word is this: decision. Decision. We're living in times like none other. Not only are we in the wealthiest nation, we are living in the days of the return of Jesus Christ. And you know there's people going to hell because we're not reaching them, because we're not taking this serious, because we don't realize the gift that we are. We don't realize the gift that each other is. We're not getting over our petty indifferences. We're worried about one another's sin. And are you with me? And so we just repeat this cycle. It's time to get the church healthy, and it starts with decision. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor, today, no matter where you are with Christ, today, I'm living different. Today, I'm going to make it a point that I want to live, and we're going to get into this message, and we're going to challenge you as we get along to live with a discipleship plan every day. We're going to give you some tools that will help you remember. We called it Mission Mondays. We talked about that a few weeks ago. We'll get into more detail. Just to say, I'm going to live different. I'm not going to worry about, well, what does this person think? What is that? I'm going to worry about the fact that I have been called to be a disciple, and if I'm a disciple, I should be making disciples. And you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm going to live differently. If that's you, stand up. Right where we are. Just make a statement. Stand up. Say, I'm going to live different. Today, I'm living different. Today, I'm living different. Today, I am going to honor God in every area of my life. Doesn't mean getting perfect, because you can't do that. It's impossible. But I'm going to make God the center of everything that I do. Amen. 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 I'm proud of each and every one of you. I'm honored to pastor here. Bunch of real people, imperfect, but beautiful. Works of art. I got the best seat in the house right now. I feel like Jacob when he was returning to Esau. You know the story. Jacob was the one who stole the blessing from Esau, his older brother, then went out and lived, and really God taught him a lot about who he was. His name meant liar or deceiver. And he went for 21 years, and he served Laban and was treated unfairly. And when he decided, you know, I'm done with this, went back, and he's returning home to Esau. And he's afraid of what Esau would think, thinking there's going to be a confrontation and a battle. And rightfully so, because he ripped him off. But he's going back, and that's the night where Jacob, the Bible says that he spent the night and he fought with an angel. Maybe you know the story. And really, that's an appearing of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. He's come. It's the angel of the Lord, capital A. It's Jesus coming. He changes his name there from Jacob to Israel, from liar to prince with God. And he leaves that meeting, and he goes, and he's approaching Esau, and he's got his men, his army, if you will. Esau's got his army. And he looks. And because God's done a work in his heart, he comes to his brother and he says, I see you as the face of the angel of God. You know that when we live without remorse, when we let grace and liberty into our lives, what starts to happen is we start to shine. We start to see other people. And we start to see how beautiful God's workmanship is. Believers and non-believers alike realize even someone who's not a believer in Jesus Christ deserves to be honored and loved. Why? Because God honors and loves them. That's why. It's time to put our signs down. We don't have signs and wonders because we got enough signs to go around that are not supernatural and miraculous, and all they're doing is pointing a finger. But today we're living different, aren't we? Real people, real life, real God, making a commitment today. Everybody just say this after me. Say, Jesus, thank you for loving me, making me yours. I love you. I'm living for you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Just enjoy that. Let's celebrate today. God is so good, amen. He's so good to us. Go ahead and have a seat. And if you're here this morning and you pray.